Some great transfer portal news for the Missouri Tiger football team, somewhat spoiled by some not so great news on the hoop side. But you know what? Either way, message boards, leave Dennis Gates alone. So let's talk about that and more right now on Locked On Mizzou.
You are Locked On Mizzou, your daily podcast on the Missouri Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, all you true sons and daughters, I'm John Miller, your Mizzou mafioso and the central scrutinizer of Missouri Tigers football and basketball. And this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And as always, just want to thank you all at the top here for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen every day. And if you are an everydayer, well, last week I talked a little bit about how I'm still a gigantic believer in everything Dennis Gates, but I am starting to get a little bit worried about Missouri's standing in the name, image, and likeness department. Where exactly do the Tigers stand? Well, it's a little bit concerning to me that the University of Miami, which does not exactly have the richest basketball history of all time, notably Frank Haith, didn't think you could ever win there, apparently, and left Miami for Missouri, never really won there. So ironically, now we have Miami actually being in a better standing than the University of Missouri right now. Jim Larrañaga definitely has that program, obviously, on much more solid footing than it was 10-plus years ago. But also, name, image, and likeness. The University of Miami, obviously known as a big-time NFL football factory there for years. Well, the football program has fallen on somewhat hard times here in recent years. And it sure seems like somebody over there on the basketball side, some alum, is really picking up the slack. Well, Matthew Cleveland, a guy who had all the ties in the world to Dennis Gates, and in particular Missouri's lead assistant, C.Y. Young, well, the former Florida State Seminole, staying in the state, going to the University of Miami. And one has to assume, listen, geographically, obviously Miami is a lot closer to Tallahassee than Columbia, Missouri. But considering the relationship that he had with Dennis Gates, and again, particularly C.Y. Young, I have to believe that name, image, and likeness was a huge factor here. And you may notice I retweeted a tweet from the District of Buckets yesterday, another Mizzou mafioso out there. And he had a funny image of Matthew Cleveland in a Florida State uniform. You know, the horns down thing that Oklahoma fans in particular like to do. Well, Matthew Cleveland, instead of doing the U, yeah, he flipped the U upside down. So interesting to see him, obviously, now with the University of Miami. The transfer portal is indeed a wild and crazy place. And for a long time, I've wondered, is there a limit to this? Because when guys like Matthew Cleveland, apparently this is a big rivalry, right, between Miami and Florida State, to the point where, again, he's taken the U and he's turning it upside down after a Seminoles victory, apparently. Well, now you're going to go play for Miami? I don't know. As a professional wrestling fan, we all know it's fake, right? Just like we all know these guys don't really care about college basketball or programs as much as we diehard fans probably do. But do they have to break kayfabe right in front of our faces? Do they have to just scream, hey, it's all fake, this isn't real? I really don't want that in the middle of a movie, and I don't want it in the middle of college basketball either. So, I do just wonder, at some point, does all this stuff, is there a breaking point? But right now, well, NCAA tournament, ratings up, college football playoff, doesn't seem to be affecting people as much as maybe I previously thought it would. So again, while I think it's legitimate to have some slight concerns, at least, about Missouri's name, image, and likeness standing as an athletic program, as a fan base, however you want to look at that, at the same time, Missouri has come really, really close on a couple of important guys in the portal, at least. Certainly Matthew Cleveland, it seemed like Missouri came in second place, and it certainly seems like Missouri came in second to Caden Shedrick. as well. Obviously, he ends up going to Texas. Miami, like I said, has been a really good program under Jim Larrañaga the last few seasons. So it's not as though Missouri is losing out to, you know, obviously inferior programs or anything like that. And clearly Dennis Gates is in there. He's in there on a lot of these guys. And considering this is just, we're not even at season two of Dennis Gates, people have to keep in mind that Gates is so far ahead of the curve where we expected him to be at this point. I think all the people who are loudly at this moment complaining that, oh, Gates keeps missing on all of his big targets. Well, number one, yeah, he has missed on a couple guys. And if you want to be disappointed in that, I think that's totally legitimate about those outcomes, or any others. But to act like these last few misses, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's, I don't even know how into Jamarian Sharp that Gates and company were, but to act like any of that is some indictment of Gates and the program at this point after he just won 25 games in year one, quite honestly, I find that whole idea childish. And really, I don't mean to sound harsh, but really, that's how children act. I have children, and they want everything instantly and to just happen all at once. Well, frankly, I don't know how it could be going any faster or any better than what Dennis Gates has done so far. Now, having said all that, there is a Kobe Brown-sized hole in this Missouri basketball roster right now, because I think Caden Shedrick would have fit it. I think Matthew Cleveland, to a lesser extent, would have fit it. I think Missouri, he's a taller player, a taller wing type player, not as bulky as Kobe Brown. You're not going to be able to do the bully ball stuff, maybe as much of the pinch post type offense that Missouri ran through Kobe Brown a lot last season. But again, now at this point, really, Kobe Brown's the only guy that can fill that hole, I think. Barring some really surprising, you know, entrant into the transfer portal, maybe Jaron Stevenson, the 24 recruit, maybe he reclasses to this class, something like that. That seems a little bit more unlikely as time goes along here. So to me, it's kind of Kobe Brown or nothing in terms of a player like Kobe. I think that's one of the most important type players you can have, is somebody who does have the type of size that Brown has, but is also versatile enough to be able to move around the court offensively and defensively. Now, obviously, Missouri does need to rebound the ball better in a perfect world next season. Well, enter West Virginia transfer Jimmy Bell. Apparently, it's down to Missouri and Mississippi State, so hopefully Missouri won't get another Ricky Bobby second place. If you're not first, you're last. That's the quote, right? Well, in recruiting, there is some truth to that, I suppose. Well, Jimmy Bell from West Virginia, 6'10", 285 pounds, doesn't necessarily fit the three-point shooting mold that Dennis Gates liked to have. In fact, Bell didn't attempt a three-pointer at all last season, but if you're worried about rebounding, a great rebounder, in fact, in particular on the offensive glass, one of the premier offensive rebounders in the country last season, and shot a pretty good percentage around the basket as well. So Jimmy Bell, certainly an interesting guy, and I think if Missouri takes Bell, they might just be done, and frankly, even if they don't get Bell, I think they might be done, because I'm just not seeing a whole lot of other obvious players out there. And not a lot of reporting that Missouri's been involved with a ton of other guys at this point. So really, it may just be Jimmy Bell, Kobe Brown, Isaiah Mosley. Those may be your last three guys that there's really any question about. You got to remember, already a ton of guys already pounded, smashed into this roster already. So it's not as though Missouri can afford to take three or four more guys, something like that. And coming up, similar to basketball, at this point on the calendar, the transfer portal options getting really thin in football as well. But I think Missouri got as important of a guy in Cameron Johnson from the portal as they possibly could have. Plus, stealing a guy from Coach Prime on the same day, a really good day for Eli Drinkwitz. So let's talk about that. But first, make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Yes, that's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. I tell you, tonight, the Lakers and the Warriors, I don't have a great feeling for this series so far. The Lakers, 3-point favorites at home in the Crypto Center. I guess I would lean toward the Warriors just if you're going to give me plus 122 on the money line. But again, I think I'm just going to watch this one. Don't have a lot of strong feelings either way. But either way, for you, there's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Just visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thanks for making Locked On Mizzou your first listen every day. And for all you everydayers out there, you know what? I swear I'm going to call up the Campbell Sports Information Director, find out if that really is Ricky Clemens' son or not, because, well, frankly, none of the people on the Mizzou beat are helping me out. So I'm just going to have to do it myself. But you know what? I haven't built this audience myself, that's for sure. Thanks to all of you for listening, as always. And by the way, you can check this show out on the SiriusXM app now, which I frankly think is really cool. I've been a huge fan and subscriber of SiriusXM now for many years. So again, check out Locked On Mizzou there, and check out all your Missouri football and basketball play-by-play on SiriusXM when the season starts this fall. But you know what? Speaking of football, Cameron Johnson, a all-AAC guard at Houston last year, well, he was obviously under Missouri's new offensive line coach, Brandon Jones, at Houston as well. And he was deciding, it sounded like, between the USC Trojans, who very well could be in line to play for the college football playoff this year with Caleb Williams and company, without a doubt. Well, fortunately, Cameron, apparently the pull of his old offensive coach was good enough to get him at Missouri. And really, at this point in the process, I don't know how you could have gotten a better addition for Missouri. Not only, hey, a guy who, yeah, it's not the big Power 5 or whatever, but still an all-conference performer at the AAC level. Not the lowest level of D1 football either, by the way. But obviously a guy performed well at guard. And the thing is, Eli Drinkwitz openly talked in the spring about how the offensive line just wasn't good enough. And in particular, like last year, the center position wasn't good enough. Well, it sounds like, by all accounts, Cameron Johnson very comfortable moving over from guard to center. And really, it just seems to me from experience that really snapping the actual ball, the actual shotgun snaps, is the biggest hurdle there, because it seems like the actual blocking, moving over one spot from a guard spot to a center spot, typically doesn't seem like a very big deal. As Gabe DeArmond pointed out this morning in his 10 thoughts, been several Missouri offensive linemen who have made that transition at some point in their career, even post-college in the NFL. Guys like Mitch Morse and Connor McGovern have made that transition quite successfully. So it sounds like Cameron Johnson will be able to do that. Again, snapping's the only thing I would worry about, the actual shotgun snaps in particular. But when it comes to offensive line, as I've admitted to all of you, been very open and honest with you, I'm not an expert on breaking down individual offensive linemen and all the nuances of that particular position. But I can tell when the group is performing well or not. That can be pretty obvious, especially when you go back and watch the tape. And when it comes to the offensive line, you can have really good players on your offensive line. For instance, Javon Foster, I think, is a borderline NFL prospect at left tackle for sure. There's a reason Missouri ran left a lot on those outside zone plays last year. But when it comes to that offensive line, you're really only as good as your weakest link. So if Missouri can just shuffle guys around a little bit, get them in maybe their more comfortable spot, again, just one more good player, hopefully a starter level SEC caliber player, we certainly assume Johnson is. If the Trojans of USC were after him, all AAC guy, I think it's pretty safe to say he should fit the bill. So again, a huge, huge get for Eli Drinkwitz and the Tigers at this point in the process. Really happy to have Cameron Johnson aboard. And speaking of former all-conference performers, well, former Jackson State defensive end, or edge rusher, as he's been called here, Niles Gaddy, committed to Missouri out of the transfer portal. Well, the former player of Deion Sanders, well, Coach Prime wanted him back at Colorado as well, but Missouri edged out Colorado for the edge rusher, if you will. So he was second on the team last year with 7 sacks, 11 tackles for loss. So just the fact that Coach, again, not to be too simplistic in my analysis, but I always like to look for who are the other programs that are after this kid, because if it's USC, well, that's a good sign. And these days, with Coach Prime in the fold, if it's Colorado, that probably means something too. So again, I just like seeing added depth here because, well, Missouri has a bunch of guys on the edge right now at that defensive end spot who just are completely unproven, quite honestly. So if Missouri can get anything close out of Niles Gaddy than they did to, yes, not Jackson State, but Jacksonville State transfer last year, DJ Coleman, well, that would be a small miracle, I would say. I don't think you usually get that kind of production from a guy from the lower levels at that spot. But regardless, obviously, I think edge rusher is an incredibly important position on any defense. I do think it's a little bit less important for the Tigers because of how good their corner tandem is. I think they'll be bringing extra pressure maybe more often than not at times next year. And coming up, Missouri and Dennis Gates have announced their men's basketball team camp next month. Well, I want to tell you guys a story about the time that Norm Stewart team camp broke me. So let's get to that right after these quick words. So back in the day, I attended my senior season, the very first Quinn Snyder basketball camp. But for many years before that, it was, of course, Norm Stewart camp over at the Hearn Center and the Hearn Center Fieldhouse, even more so. Yeah, you got some games on the real court, but man, those brutal rubber Hearn Center Fieldhouse courts. Just an ungodly combination back in the day. You'd play 5 to 7 games per day. This is Norm Stewart team camp in particular, by the way. And just this combination of those half dozen games or so in one day, you'd have one emotionally vacant referee doing these games, by the way. Imagine basically former Missouri walk-on Kenji Stevenson, for example. And the brutal courts and that combination, myself and my Southern Boone teammates, we were absolute zombies by the end of the week. I mean, we're 15, 16, 17-year-old guys, and we're so sore beyond belief before the games beyond this, we can barely even stretch. And again, and one thing I remember, I think maybe for my last game ever, Coach Gill actually misread the bracket of the fifth place game or something like that, and we had to forfeit that game because we didn't show up for the right time. And you know what all of our reactions were at that point? Thank God, please get us out of here. So my point is, nowadays, well, only 3 games a day, I notice. So load management has come to Missouri team camp. And it'd be really easy for me to be the old guy and be like, oh, these kids today, they just are so soft or whatever. Bronco Nagurski, he didn't have any bye weeks. Well, then this is the moment where I step back and go, oh, wait, Bronco Nagurski's dead. Maybe bye weeks aren't so bad. So seriously, I can just tell you from experience, that team camp actually broke me at one point. I remember it was the end of the day, one of those marathon days of multiple games. And for whatever reason, I just remember missing like 4 or 5 layups, putbacks. Very unusual for me. I'm pretty reliable around the rim at that time. But I just remember after the game, just the combination of frustration and exhaustion. I shared an elevator down from the Missouri practice arena then, and I just kind of started crying. I was there with one of my teammates' dads, and he was like, hey, it's all right, buddy. And I was just like, I don't even know why I'm crying right now. I think it just, the camp had broken me. I was just emotionally and physically exhausted to the point where I just had to let a few tears out, I guess. And I laugh because that's the only time a game, in terms of actual disappointment, has moved me to tears like that. And it was a completely meaningless game. It was a camp game that meant absolutely nothing. So I just thought that was kind of funny and very indicative of how brutal those team camps were back in the day. So you know what, kids? Bronco Nagurski may not have had any bye weeks, but I think bye weeks are a good thing. And I think load management at team camp, probably a good thing too. Even the 16-year-olds of the world need a break every once in a while. So you know what? Until next time, thanks for joining me. Oh, as always, right here on Locked On Mizzou. As I said, I'm going to find out this Ricky Clemens thing one way or the other. So stay tuned for that right here on Locked On Mizzou.